It is a joy to be with you this morning. As I was thinking today, it's by the grace of God that we are here today, together, that a man from East End, Arkansas, you've probably heard of it, it's a pretty big place, about 400 people when I was growing up, is gathering with the saints in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. What a great God we serve, that he can bring people together who would not normally come together. It's by his grace and by his providence that I get to see fellow believers in Philadelphia and worship with them and sing with them and pray with them. And now I have the humble privilege of sharing God's word with you. I never would have thought that, or in Arkansas we would say, never would have thunk that, I would be able to be here with you this morning. And I praise God and I thank God for you. We also want to, I think I can talk on behalf of the cohort. Y'all can just correct me if I'm wrong. But we want to thank you, Rachel, for giving up your husband on these cohort weekends. We know that's not easy for you, but we thank you. And kids, we thank you for giving up Dad for these weekends. And church, thank you for allowing your pastor to serve a greater group of pastors with his wisdom, experience, and his kindness and compassion. So we want to thank you for allowing your pastor to serve as he does for our family of churches. It means more than you possibly know, but we appreciate you and we thank you. This morning, if you would turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, we're going to begin in verse 19. And as Ian was talking about the happenings in Virginia yesterday, there are times in the Christian life where things can be fearful. We can look around our world today and go, what can we do to make a difference with all these things going on in the world? We can look around and we can see wars, we can see atrocities overseas, we can see evil, and we can see terrorist acts here in our country. Even within our own homes and our relationships and our jobs, there are situations that can cause fear to overcome us when we think about what we are called to do here in this Christian life. And that's to be on mission with God as he proclaims his greatness. But at times that can be daunting when we look around and say, how can I do this? Fear can set in, and fear can immobilize us as Christians to just sit and watch and hope that someone else will go about God's mission for us. But my brothers and my sisters, if you're a believer here this morning, no one will go on God's mission for us, because God has called us to go on mission for him. So in a time of fear, and maybe even in a world of fear, how can we be on mission for God? I think John chapter 20, verse 15, or 19 through 23 helps us to understand that the peace of God prepares us for mission, and the peace of God empowers us for mission. So would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. When we come to John 20 and verse 19, we see that John wants us to focus on something in verse 19. He wants us to focus on the day. On the evening of that day, that particular day, John wants us to remember what has happened. And what has happened that day? Jesus has rose from the dead. One of the most miraculous thing that could happen has happened. The man who the disciples followed has showed himself as God in the flesh. He has overcome death. The very grave that they have put him in is now empty because our Savior is not dead. He is alive. John is wanting the reader to remember that. Look at what happened. God overcame death. As we surveyed the funeral plots of many of our church history greats and men who shaped the evangelical landscape of this country, they're great men, but they're still in the grave. But this man did not stay in the grave. This Jesus did not stay in the grave. He conquered death. He conquered the sting of death. And his grave was empty. But then the disciples came. And what happened? Mary Magdalene said, "Look, his tomb is empty. Our Savior is not here." And she stayed and waited for a little while and was met by the angel and received the good news that Jesus was risen. But what did these manly axe-throwing apostles do when they ran to the grave and they saw that it was empty? They went home and locked themselves in a room. They went home and locked themselves in a room. One of the most interesting passages of Scripture that I just want to talk to them when we get to heaven. Not because I'm going to make fun of them, because I'm fearful in many ways, and I would have been fearful here as well. But when they had seen physically what Jesus said would happen, they didn't run away joyful, but they went to hide. Think about this. Jesus had told them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rise it up." He had said in John chapter 10, "I lay down my life that I might take it up again." And in Matthew said, "You know what? I'll give you a picture. Just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." On the road to Emmaus, when Jesus told them about his resurrection, they had been told time after time after time again what would happen. And yet, despite the witnesses of Mary, despite the words of Jesus, Peter and John did not, or maybe could not, believe that the resurrection had actually occurred. Fear had taken over and took them from victory to being scared in a small room. These disciples, who had every reason to be courageous and joyous, had locked themselves in a room. And just when we're thinking about that, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John all share with us that the disciples were fearful. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Scripture tells us that the disciples were in fear of the supernatural. In John, it tells us that they were in fear of the Jews. The one thing we know is that these disciples were scared. They weren't just scared of one thing. They were scared of everything. And so they thought, if we just lock ourselves in a room, we'll be fine. Now think about that for a second. Now this week, we can't make fun of the disciples because of that, because we do much the same thing. When fear hits, we will retreat and think that safety is in hiding from what's around us. But think about it. If the disciples were in fear of Jewish soldiers, what would a locked door do to protect them? Soldiers kick down doors. That's what they do. And if the disciples were scared of the supernatural, what is a locked door going to do to keep Jesus out of the room? So because of the fear that they had, they put themselves in a position where they were vulnerable. And fear will do the same thing to us. When we look at the circumstances of life and we look at all there is to fear, we become very, very vulnerable to being taken over by our fears. What these disciples needed was somebody to break down that door. What the disciples needed was for someone to come into this place of comfort and shake them up. What do they need to shake them up? They need Jesus. And in times of fear, so do we. We need Jesus. He is the answer for all of our fears. He is the only one that brings peace. This is such an interesting passage of Scripture that while they are huddled back, scared, it just says, Jesus came and stood among them. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. The very thing that the disciples needed at that moment, Jesus delivered, coming and letting them know that they have peace. Now, oftentimes, I don't know about you, but when there are times of fear, I try to manufacture peace myself. But any peace manufactured by man outside of Jesus Christ is a temporary and horrible peace. Just look at our history as a people. World War I was supposed to be the war that ended all wars. The president of the United States at that time was heralded as a Messiah because of his statements on peace and what peace he would bring to the world with his thesis, Woodrow Wilson, his thesis of peace. Excuse me. And the whole world said he is the new Messiah and he's bringing in a new age that now mankind is educated enough and we know enough about science and we know about enough about ourselves that there will be war no more. And what happened with that? Some 20 years later, a war would start where 60 million people would be killed. We can't depend on ourselves for peace. Look, even within our own country, we had a little squabble with a Middle Eastern country in the early 1990s that was meant to bring peace and stability to the region, and that there's still going on war in Iraq and Syria. Despite our best efforts, there is still violence and hate. And we look to even Charlottesville yesterday and say, with all our education, we just need more education. We need more of this. We need more of that. And that will bring an end to racism. But my brothers and sisters, education will not bring an end to sin. It's only by Jesus that there will be peace. Even with us personally, we can try to find peace through drugs, alcohol. Even our phones can be a symptom of peace. If you want to get away, what do? You get on your iPhone and you look at it and you try to lose yourself in it. Parents, how many times have you offered the world to your kids for a moment of peace? Despite you know how to discipline your kids, you know what you want from them, you know what you expect, but you are tired and you are angry and you just want them to be quiet, so you promise them trips to Disney World. You promise them everything if they will just leave you alone. But that doesn't bring peace either, at least not in my house. It makes me out to be a liar because we've never been to Disney World. Every avenue from our personal individual lives to a greater global community, we cannot bring peace outside of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are many things we do need to do. We do need to get educated about some things. We do need to sit down at round tables and discuss a lot of things. We do need to go to the peace table when it comes to war. But if those peaceful negotiations are not grounded in the peace that Jesus supplied on the cross, they will not work. These disciples are just like us. They need a peace that they are unable to create, that only God can create. For when we look for peace outside of Jesus, we find ourselves just like these disciples were. The best hope we can achieve by ourselves is a locked room. Now, this has taken me a long time to figure out how prideful I am that a lot of times I think I can do this on my own. I can bring peace to a situation. But at the end of the day, if Jesus is not the foundation, the best we can hope to achieve is a locked room. So Jesus comes and he speaks peace in this locked room. And he shows his disciples the scars. Jesus comes and shows his people and communicates to the disciples here and to us gathered together that it is finished. By the nail-scarred hands and the nail-scarred feet and the sword through his side, he paid for our sins so that we are no longer enemies of God. We who were once enemies are now children of God. When he comes in and shows that to the disciples, he is showing them, your peace has been made. I have made it. There is no reason to fear. There is no reason to try to manufacture a peace outside of me because nothing can accomplish what he did on the cross. Jesus' death and burial and resurrection means one thing for not only the disciples, but also for us. He is the Christ. This one who we sing about this morning is truly the Messiah who came and accomplished what he came for, to reconcile God and man, bringing peace for the believer with God. If you are here this morning and you are not in Christ, if you are trying to find a way outside of Christ for peace with God, you will not be able to find it. No matter your best efforts, no matter your wisest thoughts, no matter your greatest deeds, there's only peace with God through Jesus. And if you are not in Christ, you are an enemy of God. We need to let that sink in. You are not sort of a friend. You're not an acquaintance of God. But if you are not in Christ, if you've not repented of sin and believed in Jesus, then you are his enemy. That is what is to be feared. But yet Jesus reminds his disciples, as my people, you have peace because of what I've done. Oh, what a joy that is to think about this morning, my fellow believer, my brother and my sister. We who were once enemies of God now are at peace with him. Once we were at war, now we were in peace. There was a time that we had no access to grace. We had no access to hope. There could be no true endurance through trials. We had no access into the throne room of God. Now we do. We are now once who were weak. Now we are strong in Christ. Once who were condemned, we are now justified. Once we were under the wrath of God, now we are saved. What joy and peace that brings to our hearts today in the midst of fear. What confidence this brings to the fearful. What strength to the weary. Why fear what Christ has vanquished? We are his and he is ours. In the midst of the things that you fear this morning, remember, if you are a child of God, Jesus bought your peace with his blood. And he reminds us of that every time we read and rehearse and meditate on the gospel. Are you fearful of that relationship with that family member at home, that you're scared of what they will think if you share the gospel? Know that Jesus has overcome our fear, that we have a message to declare that everyone needs. Are you scared in the workplace? Just remember what Christ has done for us and know what Christ can do for our coworkers, our family members, those in our community, the people that we think are too far gone for God. No one is outside of his saving power. When he came and bring peace for his people, he came to bring true peace. We as Christians cannot forget this truth. As Milton Vincent says in a gospel primer for Christians, God did not give us his gospel just so we could embrace it and be converted. He offers it to us every day as a gift that keeps on giving to us everything we need for life and godliness. Only the truth of the gospel will overcome fear. This confidence that we have that comes from the resurrected Jesus is what we need to overcome fear and be on mission in proclaiming the gospel. And I want to be sure to know too that I know that just because I'm planting a church doesn't mean that I'm the only one with fear in the room. No matter where we're at and where God has called us to, there is some fear in the mission field that God has put us on. Whether it's in California, whether it's in Montana, whether it's in West Philly, whether it's on the Villanova campus or the Penn State campus. Just know this. Remember the resurrected Christ. Remember the gospel that saved us. Remember the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. That gospel that we received is the confidence we need to be on mission for God, no matter where we are, no matter in what capacity. You may be a factory worker, you may be a stay-at-home mom, you may be a church planter or a denominational leader. It's the gospel that overcomes fear. And that leads us to our next point. We receive peace from God so that we can have peace for the purpose of God's mission. Jesus reaffirms peace for the disciples. In these few short verses, he is making sure that the disciples understand you have peace with God. He says, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." John Stott says this about verse 21. "We learn then that the church's very first need, before it can engage in evangelism, is an experience and an assurance of Christ's peace. Peace of conscience through the death that banishes sin. Peace of mind through the resurrection that banishes doubt. Once we are glad that we have seen the Lord, and once we have clearly recognized him as our crucified and risen Savior, then nothing and no one will be able to silence us. Once we are glad that we have seen the Lord, and once we have clearly recognized him as our crucified and risen Savior, then nothing, no government, no evil, no racism, no false worship, no fear, and no one will be able to silence us. Because we have a resurrected and living Lord who has sent us. Wherever we're at, God has sent you. God is the one who had you born to the parents you were born to, placed in the place that you're placed in, and pushed you out to your mission field. We are where we are by the dispatch of God. You are not in West Philadelphia by accident. God has providentially and sovereignly placed you here to be on mission for him. So we don't have to wonder, are we just wandering around accidentally? We just happen to be in Philly, so we might as well preach the gospel. Or I'm in Northwest Arkansas, so I might as well preach. No, God has put you where you are at for the proclamation of his word. That should give us confidence that we're not here by accident. We're not here by our own design, but we are here because a sovereign God placed us here. Just as Jesus was sent by the Father, he has sent us to our places of mission. And not only has he sent us, but he has empowered us. We can be at peace with gospel proclamation and being on mission because we are sent with power. Jesus has said to them, receive the Holy Spirit, receive the life-giving power you need to be on mission with me. Jesus is not giving an early gift to the Holy Spirit here to these disciples. This is what is said to be an active parable, so they will know that on this mission, they will not be alone. They will have the Holy Spirit. What a joy for us to recognize this morning and rest on the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit for all of life and ministry. It is not by our own power that we are on mission. It is not by our own gifting that we proclaim the gospel, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit who Jesus has given to us. It is the Holy Spirit who is fully God, equal with the Father and Son, whose primary ministry is to glorify the Lord Jesus. He also convicts unbelievers of their need for Christ, imparts spiritual life through regeneration. And when we are saved, the Holy Spirit permanently indwells us, graciously sanctifies us, leads us, and empowers us. We have the Holy Spirit. What a joyful thing to know that it's God who will build his church. What a joyful thing to know that it is God who will save your child. What it is a joyful thing to know that whatever we fill in the blank, God will accomplish that. It's by God's power that we are on mission. But also we can be at peace because we're sent with a message. In verse 23, it says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, they are withheld. Jesus is not giving the disciples permission to save who they would and damn who they would. He's telling them, you have the gospel message. It's by this message that people will be saved. This gospel message, it assures them that they who were once at war with God now are at peace with God. It's the same gospel message they are to proclaim to the nations. And for us as well, this is the message we are to proclaim. It's not a message that we have to make up. It's not a message that we are empowered by ourselves to proclaim. And it's not a new message. It's a message that's no need of improvement. There's no need to change it with culture. But it is the message of the gospel. Is that not a relief? Does that not take away some fear? That the same gospel message that saved these disciples is the same gospel message that saved us. And it's the same gospel message that will put an end to evil in our country, in our world. It is the message by where men are saved. That message that God is holy and righteous, and that every person has sinned against this holy God and deserves hell. But the gracious triune God sent Christ to earth to accomplish redemption, and that Jesus died willingly on the cross in place of sinners. And through his death, God reconciled humanity to himself. And that God raised Jesus from the dead for our justification. Can you see when we meditate on those things, fear loses its seat at the table? Fear grows strangely dim in the light of God's glory and grace. How does one become righteous before God? They repent of their sins and place their faith in Christ, in his work on the cross for the behalf of humanity. So my brothers and my sisters, this morning, if you have a fear of being on mission like I do, be at peace. Christ has reconciled you to God. And if you have fear of being on mission, be at peace. The Holy Spirit believer is in you, empowering you for mission. Be at peace. Jesus is the one that sends you. And be at peace. It is the message of Christ that we proclaim. Jesus supplies all we need to be on mission for him in the face of fear. Soon after this night, the disciples would be part of an expansion of the church from fearful few to hundreds, thousands, and millions. With this expansion, there would be time for them where the fears that they had in the room would come to pass. Some of them would be killed. Well, all of them would be killed, said unless John. They would be hunted down and arrested for proclaiming the name of the one who saved them. And for us, who knows what fears will become a reality? To stay strength from being together, from being in God's word, from praising him through song and prayer. When we go out and we walk into the office, or we pull up into the job site, or we walk away from the cemetery, or we lose that relationship, or when we fail that test, when those challenges come, and they will come, we have a hope, and that hope is not in a locked room, but that hope is a living hope, that our peace with God has been secured by the cross of Christ, the power of his resurrection, for the purpose of gospel proclamation. So my brothers and my sisters, do not be overcome by the fear that easily keeps us from being on mission. A fear of being on mission has cost the church in this country. A fear of an individual being on mission has cost my family. Don't be in fear. Remember the peace of God that has come in Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. God, and thank you for taking someone who was an enemy of yours and making them your child. Father, I pray this morning if there's anyone here who does not know you, Father, would you convict them of sin? Would you convict them the truth of your gospel? Would you give those who don't have your peace, peace this morning? And for those of us who are your children, Father, renew our strength with the peace of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.